6:04, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. BT out today. It's Big Sizz, Ronj, and Randy with you. With all due respect coming up, send your text in to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to With All Due Respect, you may go to the zoo and look at the cute monkeys behind the glass, but deep down, you know what those adorable little creatures are capable of. Visitors at a zoo in China were reminded of that this week when a Colombian white-faced capuchin monkey picked up a stone with a sharp edge and banged it against the glass. After just a couple of swings, the glass broke, startling the guests and the monkey who broke it. Thankfully, the glass was reinforced and stayed upright despite shattering. A zoo staffer said this particular monkey has stood out by using tools to crack open walnut treats instead of just struggling to bite open the tough shells.
And you know, the next thing they're going to do is give it Xanax. You're going to use tools to kill your friend next time. Like a rock and a hammer. Monkeys,
well,
hey.
They're smart.
They are smart.
TMZ reporting that today Alex Rodriguez closed on selling his Hollywood Hills bachelor pad. A-Rod, with all due respect to you, this is J-Lo's fourth wedding. Should have kept that little building.
Oh, that's a very good point.
You're going to be a bachelor again.
Yeah, probably.
With all due respect.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with being a bachelor, especially if you have hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
In fact, it might be better.
If you're a bachelor with hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah.
I would suggest that is the case.
Okay,
yes.
Let's put it this way. You know, you can, let's pretend you don't know any women, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting fresh, starting from scratch, all right? And you have $500 million in your bank.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a wife or not?
If you're starting fresh, no.
Yep. You don't know the people you know in your life,
right.
Okay? You don't know these people.
Mm-hmm.
Clean slate, Randy. $500 million, you want to have no attachment. That's what I want.
I'm with you there.
The only thing I want to be attached to if I have $500 million is my no person.
Oh, no, you want to be in a position where you can determine true love and then fall in love.
Oh, no, I just want to know and really love my person who tells everybody no for me, the one I've hired.
By the way, J-Lo's first two marriages lasted 2 years each, and then the Mark Anthony one, mm-hmm. married in 2004, divorced in 2014. And so I'm going to say that the A-Rod one lasts between 4 and 6.
But this time it's real.
Yeah, that's what they say. Should have kept the bachelor pad, with all due respect.
So the University of Texas at Austin has made a pretty impressive hire. Matthew McConaughey is going to be a professor at the university.
Mm.
This was news that broke during the past week. The 49-year-old native Texan said that his script class, which is what he's going to be teaching, so it's a theater class, the elements of truth and genuine joy for the process. With all due respect to Matt McConaughey, you can't just tell your students that time is a flat circle and be done with it. That's pretty much going to... And by the way, college girls seem to be outside his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. My understanding is they also stay the same age, but seems to be a different demographic.
Who do you think has a higher net worth, J-Lo or A-Rod?
A-Rod.
$50 million shy. She's at $400 mil. He's at $350.
Wow.
Big Sizz, what do you got for us?
From the Hot Shots text line to 65780, with all due respect, bleep pumpkin spice lattes. The best part about fall is not having to cut your grass.
Okay. I can see that.
I think you still have to cut your grass in the fall. Yeah. Got our grass cut. It's still kind of the summer, but got it cut today. Yeah, you have to cut your grass during the fall.
Mike Ryder points out you have to rake leaves as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of yard work in the fall. Yep.
My son is a huge pumpkin spice guy. Loves it.
Yep.
And I have no problem with people that like that stuff.
I can get down with the PSL.
No, you don't want to buy those because then the team winds up leaving and you get stuck with worthless piece of
paper.
Oh, no,
Randy. I'm talking about the pumpkin spice latte, which is slightly cheaper.
Yeah, it is.
It's I like them. I can do maybe one or two a fall, and that's it. Otherwise, they get to be a little too much.
I like pumpkin pie.
You know what's great?
What?
Eggnog latte.
Ooh, got to try it.
So Christmas season, when that rolls around, the eggnog latte. Oh, baby.
We'll have that when we wrap up a fast lane at 6 o'clock some night.
That's right.
Pumpkin bread,
we're moving it 2 to 6, folks, just so you know. So if this is the hour you first turn into us, just so you know, it's going to be too late starting next week.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. The NFL regular season is almost here, and we're going to catch up with our friend John Clayton, the professor, is next on 101 ESPN. We get a chance to visit with the professor, John Clayton. He joins us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN in St. Louis as we get ready for the NFL season. Professor, always good to talk to you. How's it going?
Going well. How about for you?
Good. Hey, I want to start with this. A few years ago, the NFL started, rather than having the gradual cutdown, they decided to keep all 90 players on the roster until the end. How do you think this has worked out, where everybody gets cut at one time?
Well, I think it helps the good teams, because what happens now by having all this done, it's like there's so many names that come out. I mean, you can't get too many claims, and so you may be able to get the practice squad that you're hoping for. So I think that's one of the advantages that comes in there. So that helps. But, you know, you can see that if there's going to be any kind of change in the preseason next year, cutting down to preseason games, I think they'll go back to the 75 because, you know, it's just more manageable. In fact, you even wonder, are they going to stay at 90 if that's going to be the case?
So Zeke Elliott, according to Jerry Jones, he believes that Zeke is going to miss at least some time. Certainly he's not going to be available for this week, but how long do you think it's going to be that Zeke sits out?
I think they'll get a deal done. Maybe I'm optimistic, but you know, what you're talking about is that you're getting pretty much toward the end. You know, he wants to be the highest paid running back. They don't want him to be the highest paid running back, but they'll make him the second highest paid. And I think they can make a concession. And when you make a concession, what you can probably do is get less guarantees in there. So I think that, you know, they'll find a way to get something done, because it doesn't make sense. I know they can talk about going 4 or 6 weeks into the season, and you know, they need him as a marathon and all that stuff. I mean, to me, that's a little bit silly, but I think in the end they'll get something done.
And John, what about Dak Prescott? Because there were reports earlier during the summer that he wanted $40 million a year. Where do you think the Cowboys stand with him?
Well, I mean, I never bought that. I never thought that was true. I thought that was one that was just, you know, exaggerated or whatever you want to call it. But I don't see that being the case. So in the end, I think that they'll, you know, he wants more than 32, which is Carson Wentz. He's not going to get more than Russell Wilson at 35. And so at this stage, and of course he's put a deadline on, just like Amari Cooper did, that, you know, if they don't get something done, then he's not going to sign and do anything during the season. So it's a little bit of a stalemate, but I think, you know, something between 32 and 35 should work.
So Dak will be there. But do you believe, let me ask it this way. If Zeke is not available to them, how much is it really going to hurt?
I think they can manage through, but I think it could cost them a couple games. I mean, their schedule early isn't that tough, so they do have some opportunities there. But I think where the big problem is that, they need Zeke as one to try to at least, get the running game going. Because, I mean, if you have a good running game and a decent defense, and they've got a great defense and a decent quarterback in Dak Prescott, and you have the running game, I mean, you're going to win 9-10 games. But if you start taking away Zeke, you know, Dak Prescott's not as good as Russell Wilson. So it's going to be a little bit more of a struggle. But, they need to get this deal done, and I think they will.
John, Jadeveon Clowney reportedly has interest in the Seattle Seahawks. You do the sidelines for the Seahawks. And the Eagles apparently does not want to go to Miami. Now, he has interest in a team like Seattle. You would know. Does Seattle have interest in him?
Oh, 100%. They need more pass rush. And so there's definite interest by Seattle. And so whether they can get something done or not is a big question. But, what I think is going to be interesting, because right now the way I have it kind of listed, and maybe I'm wrong on Philadelphia because maybe they should win the division, but I have Philadelphia and Seattle both being wild card teams. And if you would add Clowney to either one of those teams, then they're back winning the division or challenging for the division. So that's going to be one that I think that you got to follow. But Seattle's going to try.
apparently Clowney doesn't want to play for the Dolphins. Why is that?
They're going to be terrible.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, it's like look what's going on right now. They're trying to trade Kiko Alonso. They're trying to trade Kenny Stills. So it's like, they've given away most of their talent. They're going to go into the season with Ryan Fitzpatrick as a starting quarterback, but their first four games are against playoff teams. So the likelihood is they're going to get off to an 0-4 start, and that's not going to be good. So, no, this one's not looking good at all.
John Clayton with us on 101 ESPN. And, John, we talked last Saturday night, Andrew Luck retired from the Indianapolis Colts. Since Saturday night, and the people that you've talked to, what's the most intriguing thing you've learned about everything that surrounded Luck's retirement?
Just how stunning it was, because obviously he'd been thinking about it, and I don't think the team had a good idea that it was going to be in his thought process like that. But I think that the tough part is, now again, Andrew has as good of integrity as any player in sports. He's that good. But at the age of 29, having made $97 million and having a body right now that's just barking at him, he just couldn't take it. And so he gets out of it. But now it comes down to what's going to be the next move, because this is a team that scored 27 points a game and was probably going to compete for the Super Bowl. Now it's going to struggle just to get to 500. Jacoby Brissett's a good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. And a great quarterback's the one, particularly in a division like that in the AFC South, that can really win you some football games.
I know I ask you pretty much every week, the Bears kicking situation. I know Eddie Pinheiro missed one last night. He shanked it pretty badly. Should they be concerned about him?
They should be. I mean, because they need to find some kicker. Although it's funny because, Kari Veldick, the one who ended up going to Minnesota for a fifth-round pick, he's been as bad as some of the kickers that have been through Chicago, because I know he missed the first three kicks in games on field goals and looked bad in doing it. And so, no, I think there's got to be a big concern, and you can see that it's one that affects them mentally. I mean, it affected them mentally through the off season as the coach tried to talk about, doing the Augusta clap and all those different things, trying to be quiet. And so, no, I think this is very worrisome, and they've got to find a kicker.
John, I do think it's cool that the Bears and the Packers, that rivalry opens up the season next Thursday night.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great. Again, you'd like it to be the Super Bowl teams or some configuration of the Super Bowl teams, but no, this makes some sense. I mean, this is a 100-year celebration of the NFL. You have the longest rivalry in the NFL, and two teams that are really good. I mean, I think everybody wants to see if the Bears can repeat what they did on defense and if Mitch Trubisky's better, and then you've got Aaron Rodgers back with the Packers. No, this will be a dandy.
One other thing, John, the New England Patriots made two more trades today, getting a cornerback or getting an offensive lineman from Denver, getting another one from the Bills, and they'd made two trades earlier in the week as well. If you were another team, would you be wary about trading a guy that the Patriots have interest in to the Patriots?
No, because, I mean, for the most part, I mean, they seem to offer fair value. And, you're trying to get value for your guys. And, if these are guys that you weren't going to keep on your roster or going to be toward the back of your roster, I mean, you make these moves. I mean, the one thing that Bill Belichick has done in the last several years, he targets players in their rookie contracts, the third and fourth years, because they've been around long enough to be able to know what to do and how to fit in the system. But they picked up three offensive linemen this week, one in Russell Bodine that's going to start. Now, I was curious in the sense that if you're Buffalo, did you really want to give him a starting center? I mean, particularly with David Andrews having the blood clot and not knowing if he's going to be able to play this year and probably going to go on IR. So a very curious move, but again, when you get Bill Belichick, I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Professor, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for the time. We do appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
And enjoy the opener. That is the professor, John Clayton, joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. It's amazing that the NFL season is already here.
I know. So we've got a little bit less than a week, and I think we're going to – I'm ready, man. I'll have my Bears jersey on Thursday.
College football, as the Tigers prepare for their opener against Wyoming, Barry Odom will take the field with one of the most legitimate teams Mizzou has had in years. That's next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Ronge and Randy with you, and Mizzou opens up their 2019 season tomorrow night in Laramie, Wyoming, against the Cowboys. And, Ronge, this will be an interesting year for Barry Odom. In Gary Pinkel's last year, the Tigers had a lot of turmoil. They were not great. They got over 500 right at the end of the year. And since Barry Odom took over, and actually in that last year of Pinkel, they have not been balanced at all. They were great defensively under Pinkel in his last year. They couldn't do anything on offense then. And 2016, it was different. It was the offense coming on under Drew Lock and the defense really struggling in Barry Odom's first year. They have had a tough time putting everything together. And in watching them in three or four practices during the summer and knowing what they have coming back, they have six starters coming back on offense and seven coming back on defense. This is about the most complete Mizzou team that we've seen in a while.
And I don't expect that we're going to go through early season defensive struggles. Remember a couple of years ago when that was the problem? We were supposed to watch a better defensive Missouri football team, and it took like five or six games before they ultimately showed that to us. There was a learning curve, it seemed. I think that's already been taken care of. And I really don't want to underestimate I believe a lot in talent, which this team clearly is very talented, but especially in a sport like football, and I think this applies to all of them, but I think that heart matters, especially in football, because you have to play hard all the time.
Right.
And I do not want to underestimate the effect of all the sanctions of the bowl ban. I think can have you might think that it could take a team and really tear them down and really demoralize everybody before the season starts.
Right.
But the impression I get is the exact opposite from this Missouri team. And maybe it starts the moment Kelly Bryant stands up in front of everybody and says, "You know what, guys? I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. We're gonna do this thing." And I get the impression. And I want to feel like this particular Mizzou football team is going to really, truly be ready for the season. And a lot of it will have to do with an us against everybody
right.
else kind of thing, because I think that's the kind of attitude you have after something as ridiculous as what the NCAA did to them happens.
And I think it goes on two fronts. Number one, as you said, playing with a chip on their shoulder, saying, okay, we're getting screwed. The other part is they have a chance to be so good that if that ban gets overturned in November, they could wind up being a really good bowl team. Not a really good team that plays in a bowl, but a team that plays in a really good bowl.
Right.
And that's what they're looking at. There's a lot of people out there that think that this could be a 10 or 11 win team. I don't know that I would go that far, but if you're a 10 win team in the SEC, you're playing in a great bowl game.
You're not going to play in the CFP, but you're going to play in a really good bowl.
Yeah.
And that's always good for the program, obviously. So, yeah, I think that happens. I think I would be surprised if they win fewer than 9 this year. If they go 9-3, I think that's probably the floor for them. But I don't know how long this will carry on through the season, but I have to believe that chip that we're talking about, I have to believe that it's big enough that it can carry you through, knowing something happened to you that should not have happened, and you're playing as hard as you can just to prove everybody wrong.
At the end of the day, what Barry Odom is trying to build is a program, and that's one of the great things that Gary Pinkel had, is that he was able to maintain such stability over the course of 15 years. He basically had the same staff. He only had three or four guys that left. It's been really tumultuous for Odom, but now, well, let me go through. This is his fourth year. The first year, Josh Heupel is his offensive coordinator, first and second year. First year defensive coordinator. We talked about the bad defense at the beginning of his first year. Damani Cross was the defensive coordinator. He got demoted at midseason. Then last year, or 2 years ago, came back as the defensive coordinator, and they wound up firing him at midseason and promoting Ryan Walters. Well, now, for the second year in a row, Ryan Walters is bringing back the same defense that they ran, and Derek Dooley is bringing back the same offense that they ran. So all the players coming into camp knew exactly what their job was, where they were supposed to be, what the plays were. I don't think that level of stability can be understated. When everybody that is returning, and you have a lot of people returning, knows what they need to do and were successful at it last year.
Well, I will give this benefit of the doubt as well. I don't think it happens every single time for a new head coach that he comes in and immediately has the staff he wants. Sometimes that does take a couple of years. And I don't think it should be the kind of thing where 5 or 6 years later you're still trying to figure out who your staff is. But if it takes a couple, I think that's reasonable. Sometimes you think you know who your best coordinators are going to be, and then you figure out a year in, this is not a good relationship.
And obviously you're doing okay if somebody gets taken away to become a head coach,
right,
as Heupel did at Central Florida. But having the same group, I think, says a lot. And now you bring in a quarterback who has a championship pedigree. He's played in the championship game. He's 16-2 for his career. And this will be an interesting observe. We'll have an interesting time observing what Derek Dooley does with Kelly Bryant, because he says he's not changing the offense, but Bryant ran for over 600 yards in the full year that he played at Clemson. Last year, Drew Locke ran for about 150. So what they're going to do is incorporate the quarterback run within the offense that they already had.
Yeah, he doesn't throw the ball quite like Locke did, but he's still really good at that. It's somebody who I can't imagine, especially in the college game, getting away from the run. If you got a quarterback who's capable of doing it, and you know, you watch guys like Tolliver last night for Georgia Tech, the way he plays, that's what he has to do. And I'm not saying that's what Bryant is. He's a little bit different guy than that, but he's still, that's a good skill set for him. And I would be surprised if Mizzou doesn't take advantage of that. You kind of have to, especially in college. It's not like the NFL, where if you're a running quarterback, you're going to get obliterated.
Right.
I mean, you can do it so often, but that can't be the biggest part of your game. College is a little bit different.
Yeah, just look at Lamar Jackson and what
exactly
he did at Louisville. And by the way, his offensive coordinator at Louisville is now Mizzou's wide receivers coach.
Yeah.
You've got an incredible staff there, but you think about what they could implement if they choose to put some creative things in there for Kelly Bryant. You can do a lot. Teddy Bridgewater ran the ball a lot successfully in college, and he's skinny as a rail, or was at least at Louisville. So I think that is something that Mizzou can do. They can successfully and with health run Kelly Bryant.
And I would be surprised if they don't. I mean, they can tell us they don't really have an intention to change things up much from last year, but why would you telegraph that? There's no reason to make us think that's how it's going to go. You know, as the season goes on, your opponents find out that maybe you're changing things up a little bit. And I really like Kelly Bryant a lot, and it's not just the talent. It's any interview you watch, and an interview doesn't say everything about a player, but it gives you a little bit of a glimpse. I mean, you could peek in the window and kind of get an idea of what kind of guy he is. And there may not be a season in recent Mizzou history where they need somebody on the field that has that leadership quality this dude has more than they need it this year because of all the outside stuff that's going on. I think he's going to be a massive help in that way.
He's a great leader, and his teammates love him. Ron, here's my concern game. I think they'll be fine with Wyoming at 6:30 tomorrow, despite the altitude that they have to play. And I think they'll be fine with the home opener against West Virginia. They'll beat SEMO. The fourth game of the season is the one that scares me.
Really?
South Carolina, because
to me,
South Carolina and Mizzou are a coin flip, and really the home team should win every year. And last year, South Carolina did in that driving rainstorm. Remember when Locke threw the pick six? That's the game that concerns me before the Tigers get to their games against Kentucky and Georgia. If they beat South Carolina, I could very easily see them being 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-0. Going into the Kentucky game.
You got to watch out for SEMO, Randy.
I think they could easily, depending on Barry Odom's mood that day, they could put 70 on them.
They might give up two touchdowns. And again, I know we have to reiterate, because people who go to Southeast Missouri State alum, they're going to be upset if we don't acknowledge they're supposed to be a good FCS team this year.
Well,
which is true, but they're still going to get steamrolled.
But yeah, as Lane Kiffin said when he was asked, why do you go to Ohio State to play the Buckeyes? For the money. And that's why SEMO is going to Mizzou. They aren't going with any illusions of coming away with a victory. Sure, there's always that App State Michigan upset. Well, there's that one App State Michigan upset. But the reality is, with where Mizzou is in their program's existence and where SEMO is, those players shouldn't be able to compete against Missouri's athletes. It just shouldn't happen.
I think that South Carolina game, that is a good, it's a good way to identify it as a concern game. The second one is Kentucky on the road. That's a team.
They're home. Kentucky's home before you go to Georgia. That's the eighth game of the season.
Okay. Yep. All right. So that's a team you should beat, and you should win, especially because you're going to be playing at home. You should beat them regardless. But they've given you trouble in the past. I think that one for me might be my first. It happens every year, it seems like, where you have one game you're supposed to win, you don't.
Right.
Okay, Mizzou a lot of times has a couple of those. I get the sense that maybe that just happens once this year. I'm hoping that's not it. That's the one that scares me the most.
Should be scary. Stoops has a good program going there. We talk
right.
about program with Mizzou, and Mark Stoops has the same thing going at Kentucky. Should be fun. It's fun being in the SEC, and it's good having Mizzou be relevant again, and I can't wait to see what helmets they're going to wear.
I'm really excited about that,
too. They change them every week.
Yeah, I like those.
I think they're every helmet that they've worn.
Hey, Randy, tell me.
Truman the Tiger helmet last year in the bowl game.
Tell me how stupid this is. I'm looking on my phone at the schedule,
mm-hmm.
okay? The home team is on top in all of these games that I'm looking at.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
It's really stupid. Have you ever seen that before?
I don't think I have.
Uh-huh.
So why would they do that?
I don't know.
So Mizzou plays.
It's Google.
This is a bad thing for Mizzou, at least in terms of drawing fans. They've got five in a row at home. After their opener tomorrow night, they get West Virginia, they get SEMO, they get South Carolina, they get Troy, and they get Ole Miss. They go to Vanderbilt. I'm sorry. You know what? I think you're right. I think they are at Kentucky. Yeah, because they blew that game last year at home against Kentucky. Okay, my bad. So
well, whatever. That's a game you got to win.
Right. But then you've got three in a row. After the five straight at home, you've got Vandy, Kentucky, and Georgia on the road. And, yes, that's a game that if you're going to be in that big bowl game that we're talking about, you have to win. Good luck to the Tigers tomorrow night. Coming up, we've got one segment left, and we want your texts for a game of Would You Rather. Get them in now to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Would You Rather next on 101 ESPN. Happy Labor Day weekend. Enjoy your three-day weekend. We will be back on Tuesday. BT will rejoin us, and we are going to return to our previously held 2-6 time slot. We'll join with you after the turn ends at 2:00. We'll be with you at 2:00. And that's something that Ronj has been a 3-7 guy ever since he came to the fast lane.
I know, man. I that took some getting used to going 3-7. Usually the afternoon's 2-6.
It is.
And it's only an hour, whatever. But
move this back an hour.
I like this. Here's what I like about it. At 6:00 gives you time to get the ball games.
That's a key for me.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Yeah, baseball and hockey games. That'll be a good thing. We welcome your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780, for a game of Would You Rather. And with your questions for us, here's Big Sis.
You know, Randy, my first day was on the first day you guys went to 3-7.
Was that right?
Yeah, Bernie and I started
really?
On the first day, or on the same day at this station. Yeah.
How about that?
Bernie's return, at least.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know this 2-6 either.
Did you get overlooked when Bernie came back on the same day?
Oh yeah, yeah. He totally took all the spotlight.
Not in
the fast lane
though.
Oh no, no. I don't.
And you're wearing a Bernie shirt.
I am not that Bernie, but a different Bernie's.
It's a different Bernie's.
Different Bernie's. Bernie's from, in Chicago.
Okay.
I don't really remember buying that shirt, but it happened.
Yeah, it looks nice on you.
Thanks, man. Okay, guys. Would you rather, as a pet, have a talking lizard or a flying horse?
All flying
right.
horse.
I would rather have the flying horse. Also,
you can ride that flying horse around, right?
Yeah, but you can talk to your lizard.
And your lizard can talk to other people. Sees everything you do.
That's
yeah.
true.
And say, guess what Brad did?
And surely maybe there's some loyalty, though.
There's a good chance your lizard's a busybody.
Yep.
Oh.
And,
so,
he's telling everybody your business.
That's
right.
the worst.
You don't want that.
That.
Especially when your horse can give you rides to work.
Yeah. So, skip traffic?
Hey, I got to get to the airport. Can you fly me over there?
If you get that flying horse.
You don't need to go to the airport if you have a flying horse.
Well, it depends on how far you're going. I don't know how much stamina the flying horse has.
And the horse could drop you off. Like, he could just say, here you go, and then fly right back to the stable.
If he's trained that well, kind of like a homing pigeon or something like that.
Yeah. Well, he is.
How about if your flying horse is Mr. Ed? So he can talk to you and fly. It wouldn't get much better.
I think that would be the best case scenario.
It'd be
You're right about
companion.
That. You'd, if it's a long trip
mm-hmm.
and you feel like talking, you don't want to take a nap, you'd have somebody to talk to while you're flying.
Could
I
you,
love the idea.
Yeah. Think about also if you're somebody who works a normal job with a flying horse and you don't have to deal with traffic and you work downtown or something at 7:30 in the morning. Hey, can you fly me downtown on a nice day? I guess you don't want to fly on your horse in the cold weather in the winter or something like that, but nice day like the last couple of days in the morning, it'd be fabulous to fly downtown on your horse.
Absolutely. I love this idea. What would you name your flying horse?
Mm.
That's a tough one. I think that's something you have to think
you
about
have to
for
put
a while.
A lot of thought into that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get back to you on mine.
Yeah, me too.
You keep thinking on that. We've got some time. Would you rather, with your life on the line, have to perfectly dance to the Macarena or the Chicken Dance?
Chicken Dance.
Chicken Dance, yeah.
I don't remember the Macarena.
That was 100%. So big, and I don't remember it either.
Yeah.
That was such a big song.
I think
such
you can learn it in an hour if you need to.
Probably.
But if you want to do something immediate and your life is on the line, Chicken Dance is pretty easy, right?
Yeah. Just follow the music.
I don't want to be a chicken. Yeah.
I can handle it.
It's just on repeat. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with
easy.
You there.
Would you rather have a daily option for a free Chinese meal or a free ice cream of your choice?
A free Chinese meal.
Totally. Zhangji across the street.
That's good.
Give me the number 8. Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
My place, Wonton King, down on Olive.
Uh-huh.
It's outstanding.
Tried it.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Did the General's Chicken. It was good.
The nice thing is, if you have a place that has like 52 different meals, and you get a free meal every day.
Something different every single day.
That's
sustenance
for life.
My gosh, you could literally go one meal a week and not have the same thing twice.
Oh, and here's the other cool thing about that, though, is you could order the meal because you get only one meal a day, right?
Right.
Order it for lunch and then put it in the microwave for dinner. Take the leftovers and have them in the microwave for dinner.
That's the best way
to reheat fried rice, though. 65780.
Yeah.
You have to leave the lid on. You have to leave the lid on to keep it moist.
Hot take, rice is the worst reheated food item.
Disagree. I think it's fries or hamburger. Hamburger is gross. Reheated.
The bun is gross. You can't reheat the bun. Like, you have to be very careful. Like, put it in the oven, maybe. But the burger tastes okay in a microwave, just the burger itself.
I think any potato, mashed potatoes are bad in the microwave. I know you can make an initial baked potato in the microwave, but you don't want to reheat it.
I have no problem with mashed potatoes in the microwave.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Would you rather, with 2 innings to cover late in the game, have the Cardinals turn to Carlos Martinez or Giovanni Gallegos?
Martinez.
Martinez for sure. I know he's making it interesting in the 9th inning pretty much every time, but I believe in his – Gallegos is certainly talented, but I believe in Carlos Martinez, especially taking more than one inning.
It goes back to the old thing. Give me the guy that's gotten the 27th out before, because I want the known, and he's done it, rather than the unknown, who might wind up being Mitchell Boggs or – Mike Perez or somebody like that. Not Chris Perez, Mike Perez. Guy who has been a setup man or been a good middle reliever who just, for whatever reason, doesn't have the capacity to close.
It matters. And I do think there will be, maybe, a time in baseball where guys are conditioned to not feel like that 9th inning is necessarily the most important inning. That maybe if you're... You know, you're learning in the minor leagues or even before that, and you're a pitcher, and it's instilled in you that, you know, the game might be on the line in the 7th inning, not the 9th, so this might be the most important inning of the game. If you're conditioned to see it that way and not necessarily look at that 9th inning as the last moment, and if you don't do it, there's no safety net, I think it would take a long time for us to get there, but it's possible that happens.
And I think human nature is going to be, unless you shorten games to 7 innings, if you have 1-run lead and a runner on, and you allow a home run in the 7th inning, you still have a chance to win the game.
Right.
And obviously you lose the game in the 9th.
That's the obstacle. But I wonder if we can get to that point, though. But you're right. That's the one thing that holds that back, is that there is a psychology to the final inning of the game that doesn't exist in the 7th inning.
A little gruesome here on this one. Would you rather fall into a wood chipper but only lose your leg, so it's sudden, very painful, but sudden, or put a really tight rubber band around your leg and let it slowly die and fall off?
Totally wood chipper.
I don't think so. I'll take the slow, because it'll numb. It'll go numb. And then it's probably going to turn black. Mm-hmm. It'll be painful, but it's not going to be. Yeah, it's probably not going to be excruciating for that.
It's going to be excruciating for a long time. It is,
until you get it taken off.
You're going to have to drag it around everywhere
by a wood
though.
Chipper.
Isn't that how they? And I don't know, you people who live on farms. Isn't that how
you
they
people?
Well, didn't you used to live on a farm?
No, I didn't live on a farm. Just because I'm from Kansas doesn't mean
I lived
on a farm.
They have a lot of sheep in Kansas,
right? They have cities too, Ronj.
But mostly sheep.
The sheep are very friendly too.
That's what I'm getting at.
And we're very friendly back.
My understanding is they castrate the sheep by putting a really tight band around the...
Yeah, in some places,
and then they fall
sure
off.
They do. Yeah, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, but think about that happening to your leg.
All right, I'll go with the wood chipper. It's a good point.
Not great. Would you rather, after a long, grueling week of work, on a Friday, you go home, wake up Saturday and Sunday, and have to work a side job for 8 hours both Saturday and Sunday, or have to babysit a stranger's kids for 4 hours each day?
Each Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, so 4 hours babysitting a stranger's kid each day.
I'll go to work.
Or work for eight.
I'll go to work.
I'll do the 4 hours of babysitting.
I mean, and it's going to be different kids every time,
yeah,
right?
A stranger's kids, so you don't even know these people.
Oh,
yeah.
That's just a... Oh, hell no. No chance. No chance.
Yeah, we can make that happen. I get along with kids. We'll have a good time for 4 hours, and then I get the rest of the day.
What if they're just awful kids?
Feed them some food.
At least it's only 4 hours. I'm counting it down, man.
I'm assuming I can take a nap on my job.
Yeah. Here's the thing you do with the 4 hours of kids, because I've had this on this show one time when you and BT weren't here. You just break it up into 15-minute segments. And, so you just say, okay, one 15-minute segment down.
Then that's over.
One 15-minute segment. So, yeah, you do 16 of those.
I remember that show.
I've heard about it. Were you here for it?
I was here for that. Because I got that pep talk on the way out of the studio. And would you rather be... handcuffed with both hands behind your back for one entire week, or handcuffed to the person you hate the most for one entire day?
I'm going with the day, with the person, with Stan. We're hanging out. Yeah. Handcuffs behind your back hurts.
I am going with that also, and I am going to make sure that I have the worst three meals of that you could ever possibly have the day before.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, like, hey, sorry, man.
My bad.
Him
going
or
back.
Her. Is it a him or a her for you? Person that you hate the most.
I got to think about it.
You don't have hate in your heart?
I don't. Off the top of my head, there's not a person that sticks out that I just despise. I got to. No, not meat.
Stop pointing at me. What did I do?
Because he always acts
anything.
Like it. That's
Gosh.
All.
I love meat.
That's right.
I'm going to have some over Labor Day.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to make some swordfish on Monday. It's going to be delicious.
I'm jealous. That sounds great.
It's going to be great.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm already hungry.
What are you going to have, Big Sis? You going to have a steak or something?
I don't know yet. I don't know. The family's coming into town. I think we're going to do some kind of barbecue.
Nice. Good. You going to introduce him to the new girl?
I'm not going to. Stop it.
Yes
stop.
Or no?
I don't know what you're talking
about.
You
have a new girl?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, why are you turning red?
I'm not turning red.
You're red like your shirt.
Yep. Whatever.
That's our producer, Brad Barnes.
King Salmon.
I'm going to throw one of these chicken wings at your fat ass. Okay.
BT has a busy weekend tonight, the Cardinals, tomorrow a doubleheader, and then on Sunday, and we'll have him back with us after Labor Day on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Ronj?
Need a big weekend, birds.
Birds!
Mike Ryder is always doing a superb job as our board operator.
Appreciate it.
And thanks for tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Don't forget, we're with you at 2 o'clock, 2 to 6 on Tuesday. As our friend Ron Burgundy might say,
don't just have a great night, have an American night.